This is Jay Sekulow. Did the Obama administration's policy strengthen the terrorist group Hezbollah?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There was testimony a while back. It was kind of buried in a written opening statement where an official said as much, that they put the brakes on Hezbollah because they were so consumed with this legacy piece of a deal with Iran.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We need to look into it. The allegation is incredibly serious that you would ignore a group that's killing American soldiers and wreaking havoc around the world just so you can cut a deal with a country that no one trusts. It's an incredibly serious allegation.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're following up on the story we broke yesterday, and that involves, of course, the situation where the previous administration, President Obama, stopped the investigation called Cassandra that was investigating Hezbollah, the terrorist group operating out of Lebanon. That they were engaged in drug trafficking to the tune of $1 billion a year and continue to do that. But the Obama administration was concerned that if they went after this, and as far as actual litigation were to go, in other words, bringing a criminal case, that would impact the Iranian negotiations. Why? Because Iran's proxy is Hezbollah. Now we learn today that, in fact, you have Hezbollah and Hamas unite in response to President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel. By the way, that's been going on for a little bit of time, but it has now formed this official kind of unity situation. This announcement comes just 2 months after the Fatah, which is the controlling party of the Palestinian Authority, entered into their so-called unity government with Hamas. So now you got Iran, Fatah, Hamas, and Hezbollah, raising their military budget by selling the illicit trade and trafficking of narcotics. And the previous administration shut it down. To show you that we are working right to the end here, this is a draft of and it will be going out today, Freedom of Information Act request to the Drug Enforcement Administration. I suspect we need one also to the Department of Justice and maybe to the FBI and CIA and State Department on that. We've got five. So what are we doing on this, Andy? Because I want people to know what's going on here.
It's either five or six, but we're sending them out to all the agencies that may have touched upon Hezbollah. These are identical requests to multiple agencies of the federal government regarding this Hezbollah outrage.
And we should not be shocked, Jordan, that Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and the Palestinian Authority have kind of linked up on all this.
That's right. And you see that they will make interesting allies, if you will, in their process. And so what Hezbollah was doing, they actually have a business affairs component as part of their official BAC, as part of their official structure. And what they do is work with the cartels to launder the money through Lebanon. So you have to think,
including the banks in Lebanon.
Yeah, right. So they're using a sophisticated banking. Once you're into Lebanon, then you're into Europe, and so they play a very important role for these cartels to be able to utilize funds. They take fees from those that utilization, and so they're actually guiding these cartels into those sophisticated actions that we see originating out of even prisons, gangs in places like Brazil, who are linked to this, and of course Mexico. Colombia.
Yep.
So their reach is worldwide and right on our doorstep.
So what this is not, I want to be clear on this, we're going to talk about this coming up. What we're requesting here is that the Justice Department reopens its investigation. It was shut down during the Obama administration. Some people say, well, we want the Obama administration held, you know, responsible for this. Well, they didn't do, well, from what we can tell, there's nothing done illegally. The president had the authority to say we're not going to move in that direction to move with the prosecution. He did that. Apparently, that's what it came. We're going to find out. But we don't think that means you now close it off, because Hezbollah is now raising basically its military budget by doing this. So we are going to ask for that investigation to go forward. And we're sending out a series of FOIA requests. Probably will put us in federal court, is my guess, to find out exactly why they stopped and what the status of that investigation was and how we restart it. We'll talk about how you restart it when we come back from the break. All right. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We want your reaction to this. Do you think the administration should reopen this investigation? What do you think the fallout should be? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal courts. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. By the way, we're doing something special today. If you get a call on the air and get your question on the air, we're going to send you a signed copy of our book on Holy Alliance. It's going to be signed by everybody on the radio broadcast. But you have to have a question or a comment. And again, it's 1-800-684-3110. So we now know that Hezbollah and Hamas have united in response to the president's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital. But they actually already had been united. And now we know that there's a situation that has developed with regard to this Operation Cassandra. Jordan, I think it's important. Let's walk people through what we have here, what we know.
Yeah, so what we have is a DEA operation that was going on for 8 years. So a long-term investigation that was probably started the Bush administration, authorized to keep going under the Obama administration. So again, long-term into the drug trafficking activities and money laundering activities of Hezbollah with the drug cartels that are coming into the United States. So we're not talking about something happening far away from the U.S., but something that's directly affecting U.S. citizens, defrauding, of course, the economic and financial systems and the U.S. government, but also inflicting severe damage, whether it's the drugs they're bringing in, which tells you a lot about their moral character of these organizations, right? They live high up on as they are run as if they are these extremely pious in the Islamic world organizations, and yet they sell drugs. And they work with the dirtiest of the dirtiest criminals in the world and the most ruthless. And I think it does underscore, you know, who your enemy is. And we talk about mm-hmm. a lot that when you get into political Islam,
yep,
and that interplay and in militant Islam, so you kind of start seeing those ideas of it doesn't matter what you do to the infidel. So they don't care that they're working with predominantly people who probably consider themselves part of the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
Because if they're looking the other way, you're looking the other way, until it matters religiously, which is long down the road for them. They think very long into the future. But these are how they plant their roots.
Yep.
You know, this has got that religious component as well. They're planting roots in Latin America with the ties to the most powerful. When you get to these drug cartels, they're more powerful than the government oftentimes.
All right. So, Andy, let's talk about what we're asking for. I want to be really clear on this. So on December 22nd, right before Christmas, Attorney General Jeff Sessions said he launched a review of prior Drug Enforcement Administration investigation, including the project called Cassandra. This review comes after a piece was put out in Politico, which exposed and accused the Obama administration of derailing Project Cassandra because they were trying to get the Iran nuclear deal done. So let me tell you what we're asking for, because people are saying, oh, they should put these people in the previous administration. Maybe they violated criminal. That's not what we're saying. Let's talk about what Jeff Sessions is looking at, Andy, as a former U.S. attorney. What is he looking
at?
Okay,
the Attorney General of the United States has the authority as the chief law enforcement official of the government to initiate an investigation or to reopen investigations that may have been closed. What we are asking the Attorney General to do, and what he apparently has decided that he is going to do, is he is going to, within the bounds that are permissible to him, and that means subject any deals that may have been made by the corrupt Justice Department under Obama to close and to immunize people or to suppress or to spoliate evidence or to do terrible things that might have impeded the prosecution, Jeff Sessions, within the parameters of that, is going to reopen this investigation into Hezbollah. And in other words, Project Cassandra is going to be revived, and prosecutions hopefully will ensue from it.
We're going to talk in a moment, though, that what that means to revive the prosecutions. Not an easy task. I mean, you got to reassemble evidence. But here's what he said.
Right.
While I'm hopeful that there were no barriers constructed by the last administration to allowing DEA agents to fully bring all appropriate cases under Project Cassandra, that would be against Hezbollah, Hezbollah leadership, a bank in Lebanon that was the funnel source. This is a significant issue for the protection of Americans. We will review these matters and give full support to investigations of violent drug trafficking organizations. Now, we know that Hezbollah was using this to fund their terrorist operations as well. But Andy, where he says there are no barriers, to hopeful that there were no barriers, what are they talking about?
What he's talking about is hopefully that no deals were made with people not to prosecute them. Hopefully no evidence was destroyed. Hopefully no deals were made with people not to pursue them
in
non-prosecution or with other governments to desist.
Yeah.
Or not to lure people, like they asked the State Department to bring people into countries where we could arrest them. Cassandra wanted to do that.
And the State Department said no.
And the State Department under Obama said, no, we're not going to do that.
So are we, in our FOIA request to the State Department, we're asking about that?
We're asking for all kinds of documents and information. It's a comprehensive request with respect to that. I have looked at the various FOIA requests that we are making, and they're very comprehensive.
All right, Logan, let's go ahead and take some calls, and we'll take some comments as well.
All right, let's go to Peter in Pennsylvania online too.
Hi, Peter. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Jay, thank you very much for all of what that you're doing for the current administration, and I'm personally thankful to you for being the head of the Homeschool Legal Defense Fund when I was.
I wasn't the head of that. That was my friend Mike Ferris, but we worked very closely with him, and Mike did a great job. Does a great job.
But I wanted to let you know that I have a personal interest in this, and that I lost my second-born son to heroin. And, you know, drug enforcement is near and dear to my heart. We need to stop the flow of these illegal drugs into the United States. And Hezbollah has a long history of earning money off of the drug trade out of Afghanistan and other areas. And I fully support the Department of Justice's efforts to try and, you know, look underneath the tent, if you will, and find out exactly what happened in regard to President Obama's administration trying to offset the DEA's examination into Hezbollah's drug trafficking in an effort to cement the Iran nuclear weapons deal.
So here's what we know. We know that Jordan mentioned this. I'll let him comment on it further. But Hezbollah has connections with drug cartels in Colombia, Brazil, and Mexico. They actually have a business affairs component to establish business relationships with cartels, but also to launder the drug money, which is a big part of this.
Yeah. So the cartels, you often see, you know, the leaders of these cartels, when they are arrested, they are tough guys. I mean, they are tough guys from tough areas of the world, usually coming out of extreme poverty. And so it's, and you know, long prison records, their entire lives, tough situations. They're uniting, but the faces of those cartels are banks and businessmen and people in suits. And they don't look like El Chapo. They look like a person that would easily be able to travel the world. Same for Hezbollah. They're working with bankers. And so where it may be thugs running the organization at the deepest parts of the organization, the guys who hide out and away from the public, the truth is that they have front forces. So in Mexico, they actually went past money laundering. And there was someone arrested named Jamal Youssef in New York back in 2009, so a long time ago now, who had a large cachet of assault rifles, hand grenades, explosives, anti-tank munitions. So we're talking not like a bag full of guns, but a massive amount of weaponry that he was smuggling to Mexico to get them to the U.S. from Iraq. Okay, so it came all the way from Iraq by Hezbollah.
Yeah.
So after the war, remember, the Iran moved in. But when Iran moves in, who is really moving in? It's Hezbollah. So even the media interchangeably uses the terminology. We'll say Iran is in Iraq and they're operating in Iraq. And oftentimes those are Hezbollah operatives who are technically Shiite Lebanese.
Yep.
But they are united through that region of Iran, Iraq, through Syria, and then into Lebanon.
All right, Logan, you want to take another comment or you want to try and grab a call here before the break?
Let's take one more call before we go to the break. Let's go to Nancy in California.
Hi, Nancy. Go ahead. You're on.
Hi, guys. Hey. I'm just so tired of our own government, like, hiding their own junk. Instead of bringing it forward, confessing it, and changing it, you know, it's like our government seems to mistreat its own people more than other countries mistreat us.
So here's what we've got to do. So in a situation like this, first you got to find out the facts. So we have, Andy authorized today, our team in Washington has prepared a series of FOIA requests. And these are Freedom of Information Act requests. They're going to the Drug Enforcement Administration, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Secretary of State's office. And that is going out today. So, I mean, literally right till the end of the year, your American Center for Law and Justice is working on this. And this is going to five or six agencies. We're requesting the information as to what exactly happened here. Now, we'll either get responses or we won't get responses, or we'll get responses, Andy, that conflict with each other.
Right.
Where the State Department will say there's nothing, and then the FBI will say, here is the documents. We've had that before, which puts us in court. But this is to try to sort out the facts.
We want to know what went on, and we're asking every agency that touched was or touched by Cassandra to tell us exactly what went on. And this is why we're papering the waterfront, so to speak, with every agency that we can possibly think of. That we may add that. We may supplement to other agencies as information comes out.
Yep.
But right now, I believe I read six this morning, which I approved to go out, and we may add some others to it. I want to be sure that we're covering the State Department and the Treasury Department because they were involved in this too. We want to find out exactly who said what to whom. Who stopped this? Why'd you stop it? Where's the evidence that it was stopped? What was the reason behind it? What was the rationale? Why was Hezbollah given a pass? What evidence was destroyed? What evidence was kept? We want to drill down as deep as we possibly can into this tragedy.
All right, we're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. Logan will let you know how you can connect with us in a moment. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign. As I said, today, documents going out to various government agencies. We're working right now. Your support of the ACLJ is critical. We've got an email going out right now, by the way, on this issue of what we call deep state operatives, which is where we think this is originating from. ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift. So we encourage you to do that.
That's right. It's at ACLJ.org. You can also find us right now broadcasting live on social media, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. Go to the Jay Sekulow page. But phone lines are open right now. Well, they just jammed up, but they will open up. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. To have your voice heard on the air today.
And don't forget that matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we're talking about this Operation Cassandra and the Obama administration shutting down an investigation of Hezbollah that was involved in money, drug laundering and drug trafficking, but also money laundering. And Jordan, that's something I want you to reiterate, and that is this was a sophisticated operation by Hezbollah producing in excess of $1 billion a year in net revenue, which is what their budget is for their army, because Hezbollah has an army.
So I think people remember this incident. It did get a decent amount of media coverage. It was back in 2011, so we're not talking about, you know, a year ago. But remember, there was an attempt to kill the Saudi Arabian ambassador in Washington, D.C. by Iran. So it was financed by Iran. Now, that's how it was kind of reported. But in truth, that was Hezbollah and Iran working together. It was a Hezbollah operative arrested in the United States to try and kill this ambassador. So think about what went into the planning here, and you talk about the sophistication level. The operation was financed by over 90,000 tons of cocaine, 90,000 tons of cocaine, and $250 million in U.S. cash laundered money from the Los Zetas cartel in Mexico. Then after this, we were so concerned about what Los Zetas was doing, we had the Fast and Furious program was put into force against Los Zetas. Disaster.
Because we
and
lost
then we decided to fund. I mean, this goes into those tough decisions the CIA makes.
Yep.
But we funded then the Sinaloa cartel. That's El Chapo's cartel. So that's, again, more recent history. You probably know that name. El Chapo Guzman. And he, we started funding them. So this created, it creates this avalanche of decision-making, which ultimately is bad decision versus bad decision, because you're dealing with people who end up being no good, obviously. They're no good to begin with.
And now we know, I've got Wes Smith and Colonel Smith, of course, is our senior military analyst. And now you've got Hezbollah operating near the border with Israel. And then, of course, the money from that's coming from Iran and from their drug running.
Right, right. They're operating less than 7 miles from the border with Israel under the guise of fighting ISIS and propping up the Assad regime. And one of the things that Hezbollah has done over the last few years, they've tried to gain legitimacy in the world's eyes by fighting ISIS. But in reality, what Hezbollah is, and this is what's so shocking about this Project Cassandra deal, Jay, Hezbollah is a deadly and, I would say, a diabolical combination of terror organization, crime syndicate, military force, and a malevolent political power in the Middle East. And I can't believe that we would turn a blind eye to this type of an organization, especially if the allegations are true, that the blind eye was turned because of a potential presidential legacy in wanting that ill-advised Iran nuclear deal, and we did not want to disenfranchise the Iranians.
Well, you know, I will tell you about the proximity to Hezbollah to Israel, because we have literally been on the Golan Heights in Israel. We have an office in Jerusalem, but we were up on one of our missions over there working with our team, and we were on the border on the Golan Heights in a military base. And you literally looked over a valley and you saw the Hezbollah flags. Yeah, go ahead.
Hezbollah flag was flying in Lebanon just
a couple miles away from where we were.
And,
maybe a mile.
If you remember, we were evacuated from that zone because of the Israeli people who were with us said we were under attack and it's a dangerous zone and we have to go to a safe place, where we hid out literally for about 2 hours until the attack subsided. But don't believe, if you want personal experiences, I was there, you were there when Hezbollah was attacking Israel.
Yep. One of the more controversial things that's happening as the Syria civil war is winding down, and this is with negotiations between Russia and the United States and Syria, is that Iran wants to permanently place their own troops in this same region with Hezbollah, supposedly to guard the Syrian border.
Yeah, which is, you're talking about a recipe for absolute disaster. That's it right there. Let's go ahead, Logan, and take a phone call. And we'll get some comments in.
All right, let's go to Lisa in Modesto, California. You're on the air on line 5.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, gentlemen. I believe we absolutely do need to reopen this investigation. And my question is, could the results of this investigation help to delegitimize Hezbollah on the international stage? They're right now holding a rather exalted position, especially in places like the UN. Could this help?
You raise a look, Lisa, it's a great comment. And that's because Hezbollah has tried to reposition themselves in the body politic, in the real world politic, as not just a terrorist organization, but now as a governing entity. And now if they're involved in drug running, that kind of not only does it delegitimize them, it puts that pale of what they're doing and the harm they're causing. So, yeah, I think that's real.
Yeah, they're much more sophisticated than the Lebanese government at this point. So they were able to get authorization to be a political party, and they do that out in the open. They run the schools. They run the hospitals. This was the caliphate before ISIS, but the Shiite version that was working in a much more structured way because – they built up a significant military force that was something to be reckoned with, and it was not worth it. I don't think, you know, Israel was never trying to get into a conflict. The reason why we haven't seen one, I think, since the mid 2000s, if you will, and you know 2006, is because of what's happened in Syria. The only reason, and that doesn't mean that Hezbollah doesn't have the money coming in to keep the arms up, but the bodies are right now making sure that the Assad regime stays in power.
Yep.
It's a supply line. It takes a long time to get a boat from Iran to Lebanon. You know, going through the you have to go through the Mediterranean at some point. But if you've got a supply line from Iran, Iraq, into Syria, right into Lebanon, no problem. And it would be safe for them.
Yep.
There are a lot of comments coming in. People like Deborah said they want the truth to be exposed, want people to be held accountable for all of this. But there's also a lot of comments coming in right now about the matching challenges going on and the donations people can make.
So,
and people are asking, how does that work? Where do you imagine even come from? How did they even go through a process we had out of the first half hour?
Yeah, no, so that's a great question. And we have a group of donors that during the course of the year put together a matching fund. I mean, that's what it is. And they'll make a donation, said, we'd like to make this as part of a matching challenge. You could do, anybody could do it. You say, we're going to match up to and it's a certain amount. Now, in December, it's a large amount. I think our goal for the just online goal is over 3 million. Well, let's get the exact number. So it's a big match. So these are donors that come together during the course of a year and say, we'll match up to a certain amount. It, like I said, December's a big amount. So any amount you donate to the ACLJ is actually matched. So what happens is, if someone donates $10, we effectively get $20 because we've got a match in there. So it's very helpful. With regard to held accountable, I think it's important for people to understand. Well, I got two questions. First, Wes, how strong is Hezbollah militarily? And then I want to talk about this accountable thing.
Yeah, they are a military force, relatively speaking, to be reckoned with. They have upwards of 100,000 active duty soldiers. They possess a lot of sophisticated missiles and rockets, which they use routinely against Israel. They also, though, they have armored vehicles, they have tanks, they have artillery. They keep the heavier pieces just across the border in Syria in order to protect it from attacks, but they bring it down near the Israeli border as needed. So they're a medium-sized military force. They are certainly no match for the Israeli Defense Forces. But in that region, they are a military force with considerable power.
All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what actually can be done. Because we're talking about holding people accountable for shutting this down. It's not the way it works here. It's can this investigation be put back together again? We're going to talk about that in the second half of the broadcast. Don't forget the matching challenge at aclj.org. Get any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And Logan's going to let you know, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, there's multiple ways for you to get it.
That's right. Mainly online. You can find us on aclj.org, facebook.com/jseculo, Periscope, and Twitter @jseculo, broadcasting live there right now. You can also download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also on the Roku channel marketplace. Subscribe to the JSecular Live podcast, as each episode archive goes straight to your phone, your device, on your podcast app. You can find that also in iTunes.
Don't forget, though, again, as we are in the last few days of the month here, your support for the ACLJ, as we are putting out FOIA requests today, make a huge difference. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about this Project Cassandra, Hezbollah running drug cartels, working with drug cartels, and engaged in activities that are illegal, but it was shut down by the Obama administration because it was going to negatively impact, Andy, their ability to engage this Iran nuclear deal. Let me play for you the sound. This is number 43. This is President Obama talking about the nuclear deal with Iran.
Even as we implement the nuclear deal and welcome our Americans home, we recognize that there remain profound differences between the United States and Iran. We remain steadfast in opposing Iran's destabilizing behavior elsewhere, including its threats against Israel and our Gulf partners, and its support for violent proxies in places like Syria and Yemen. We still have sanctions on Iran for its violations of human rights, for its support of terrorism, and for its ballistic missile program, and we will continue to enforce these sanctions vigorously.
So he said that we recognize there are profound differences, this was President Obama, and that they have destabilizing behavior in the region. So what we're at, it's very important, Andy, for people to understand what we are saying in our request and what we're asking the Justice Department to do here. The president had the authority to open this or shut this down. That, I'm not questioning that. The question now is, because this is funding the Hezbollah military to significant $1 billion a year net revenue, that the investigation should be basically reopened.
Right.
But that's not an easy task.
Well, it isn't. But it's something that Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States, can do. He can simply say Operation Cassandra is going to be reopened. It can be under a new name. It can be under a new guise. But the fact is we're going to relook at Hezbollah and its illicit activities in bringing in millions and millions of dollars worth of drugs into the United States, throughout the world for that matter, laundering money and so forth, provided, of course, that the Obama administration did not erect barriers to doing that by some sort of evidentiary deals that they have made, immunize people, or otherwise undermine the operation. Obama gets up there and says what a terrible thing Iran is and all its surrogates and all the people that it has supported, but yet at the same time, surreptitiously, until this Politico report came out, we didn't know that he was cutting the Operation Cassandra's throat is what he was ultimately doing.
So, Wes, you've got a piece out right now up on ACLJ.org called "The Justice Department Investigates Efforts to Crack Down on Hezbollah." What's kind of the thesis of the piece you've got up?
Yeah, simply that apparently, if you believe the Politico report, and it is well sourced, that the Obama administration, in order to ensure that Iran would sign on to this ill-advised nuclear deal, that they actually interfered with a federal investigation against Hezbollah for money laundering and for their drug trade. And Jay, one of the more tragic aspects of this, in addition to the disrespect for law enforcement and the rather cavalier approach to national security,
yep,
America has a drug addiction problem.
Yep.
And Hezbollah is providing one of the major conduits from South America through Mexico across the border for illegal drugs. And so the casual disregard for the victims of drug abuse,
yep,
I think, is shocking.
Well, we've got an opioid crisis here that the president, President Trump's trying to address, but you got one of the largest traffickers of all this, these cartels, working with Hezbollah.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you talk about the drug cartels, I think everybody who's listening right now, continue to remind yourself that we're not just talking about powerful gangs in Latin America, that their reach goes far, and that those behind the cartels really putting in those sophisticated actions so that they're able to utilize the money that they do make, the cash that they make, is coming not from Latin America, but from the Middle East and terrorist organizations.
So we have out right now a email alert to our friends around the country, because we've just filed, or filing today, 5, and Andy may be increasing that to 7, FOIA requests on this whole Operation Cassandra. So we're really on top of it right now. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference there at ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. And we are about $2 million away from our goal. Our goal is about $3,700,000. And we're about $2 million away from that goal. So we've got a lot of room in the next few days here. So your support at ACLJ.org makes a huge difference. But again, it's a matching challenge. So any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for us. That $3.7 million is effectively over $7 million. So it's a big part of our budget for the end of the year here. ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. By the way, on January 1st, on our radio networks, you're going to hear some special programming. But on our Facebook and Periscope networks, you're going to be able to watch a performance of the Jay Sekulow Band. Our band played at Judson University. And during the course of a two-hour concert, we were able to talk about cases and issues that we're dealing with. And we decided it'd be a great opportunity on Monday, on January 1st, for those that watch on Facebook and Periscope, for you all to see the band in action, but also some great information in that concert as well. So we'll encourage you to do that. It'll be a special that we're going to air on Monday. All right, let's go right to the phones. Harry Hutchison, our Director of Governmental Affairs, has joined us. But, Logan, we've got people in holding for a while here. We need to grab some calls.
Let's start with Kent in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air.
Hey, Kent.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my phone call. Two questions. One, in regards to the DOJ, will they truly heed the call to reopen this investigation? And then our support for Israel, maybe militarily, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, right now Israel doesn't need our we give them military aid, but they don't need our actual military troops as part of their defense. The Israel Defense Forces are very significant and could take on anybody in the region. Of course, if need be, we would, of course, defend our ally. But you asked a good question, is do we think they will actually step up DOJ regarding this investigation? Let's talk about it first politically, then I'll talk about the policy and legal. Politically, this was put down because of the Iran deal by the previous administration, so there's no political barrier to reopening it.
We talked about how politicized the DOJ got in the Obama administration, how things changed, and you saw this blurred line between political appointees and bureaucrats working in tandem in a very political way. So they looked like the political appointees. It was hard to tell who was what because they were so in line with the left-wing policy positions. I think it goes to, in my issue mainly, is it because Congress is looking at this, and because we talked about how you cannot clean up a deep state. You cannot clean up this bureaucracy. You cannot drain the swamp, if you will, in 6 months. You can't do it in a year. I mean, it takes a year just to figure out what investigations were shut down, what was not done, what do we want to I mean, doing this in 11 months is actually pretty fast, because you're talking about not main justice. You're talking about one of the agencies, DEA, reporting through various agencies now with Homeland Security Department. And so it's going up a chain of command. Ultimately, it's made its way to the Attorney General of the United States because we've had DEA agents who were willing to bring this to the attention to Congress. That was in 2016. Then the new administration comes in. They're looking at it. And now obviously believe that it's at the point where they can actually look at trying to reopen this investigation.
And Andy, let's talk about the reopening of that investigation. Right. So what's entailed there?
What is entailed there is for the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, as he has said he is going to do, we've read it, he is going to, subject to any barriers that the Obama administration may have put up to it, and we don't know what those may be, but he has said, I am reopening this investigation into Hezbollah. We're going to revive Operation Cassandra, maybe under a different name, and we're going to look at the operations that Hezbollah has engaged in worldwide and in the United States in its drug trafficking. That is an option that the Attorney General has. Obviously, I think that President Trump has to know this because his attorney general works closely with the White House, and I'm very glad to see that he's going to do this.
Logan, let's take a call to a line two, yep. And I'm going to run this to
Mark
Harry.
Mark in St. Louis, you're on the air.
Hey, Mark.
Hi there.
Yep.
Hi. Great show.
Thanks.
My question is, since this information was hidden in order to engage in the Iran plan, now that it's out, does it allow us to disengage from it?
So here's the problem. I want to get Harry's position on this. But here's the problem with the Iran deal. It was a horrible deal. And I mean, as Benjamin Netanyahu said, terrible deal. Our own government leaders, many in the not in the then president's party, but the Republicans were saying it was a bad deal. But a lot of world governments have already engaged Iran on a business transaction. So undoing this would be very difficult. That doesn't mean we can't reimpose sanctions. But basically, Harry, you've got a situation where Iran is using Hezbollah as a proxy. Hezbollah is now funding or money laundering for drug cartels to keep their budgets up for their military action against Israel on its border. That's really what's happening.
Absolutely. And so what we have done inadvertently or perhaps directly is we have strengthened an axis of resistance. Essentially an unholy alliance between Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran. And in addition to that, we should note that the Iran deal essentially is binding on the West, but it's not necessarily binding on Iran.
Yeah.
Iran is also actively continuing, in my judgment, its campaign to gain nuclear weapons while we speak. And so American and Western interests are focused on the commercial aspects of the Iran nuclear deal. They are not focused on U.S. national security interests or Israel's national security interest. And it's important to note that President Obama was not focused on our national security. He was focused on securing his so-called legacy.
Yeah.
And his legacy is basically one of spinelessness and fecklessness, but he has also drawn cover, if you will, from the U.S. media, which refuses to cover this very, very important national security story.
So John Brennan, the former National Security Administration director, and said this: there are certainly the elements of ISIS that are truly a concern to us and what they're doing. And what we need to do is find ways to diminish their influence within the organization and to try to build up the more moderate elements. And this was talking about Hezbollah. Okay. So this whole idea about Hezbollah as a moderating force, Jordan, is just that whole idea that there are moderates within Hezbollah does not understand what Hezbollah does.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the 1980s, when Hezbollah hit the international scene, they put out a manifesto similar to the Hamas manifesto. That manifesto called for the obliteration of Israel. They still have that in their operating documents. So that's their ultimate goal, is they say that their resistance will not stop. So their fight does not stop until Israel is obliterated. So it's not just about Lebanon. It's not just about South Lebanon. It's ultimately about continuing the Islamic revolution. They've toned down some of their language, not against Israel.
Yeah,
but or the United States, but to be somewhat more inclusive, because in Lebanon, remember, they're also dealing with a pretty large Christian population there, that sometimes Hezbollah is able to secure, like the Assad regime, better than from Sunni militant groups, better than the government itself. So they have infiltrated those groups as well. So they've been a little bit more open than Iran has since their revolution. In that sense, to bring more people into their fold. So they've toned down some domestic rhetoric, But their international rhetoric still calls for the destruction, obliteration of Israel, is how it translates. And, of course, the name Hezbollah is the army of God. I mean, that's, you can see Allah's in the name itself. And so they have the army of God and they have the party of God. And they their political wing in Lebanon is called the Resistance Party.
Here's what Trey Gowdy had to say about what the administration was doing. This is bite number 49.
It's an incredible allegation that any administration would ignore one terrorist group because you were trying to curry favor with another terrorist group. It is incendiary. It is worthy of investigation across several different committees of Congress.
So, I mean, this is part of the problem. Iran is a terrorist organization funding, I mean, the biggest state sponsor of terror, Harry, and they are funding Hezbollah, who's now in drug cartel running business or drug laundering.
Absolutely. So when it comes to U.S. national security, when it comes to Israel's borders, there are no moderate elements in Hezbollah, Hamas, or Iran. In addition to which, we should note that Israel is only a stepping stone to the larger Islamic objective, which is the United States, the destruction of the United States. And so it makes no sense to derail Project Cassandra and allow Hezbollah to gain additional weaponry, which they can use to kill U.S. troops. They've already proven their capacity to do so.
All right, we're not out of time. We'll save the calls. We're going to take more calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Be interesting, Jordan, to get fans' take when he comes back on what they'll do here, what kind of congressional oversight will be on this, because this is becoming a big story.
Yeah, I mean, it started out with testimony in Congress in 2016. Now that the Department of Justice has been under leadership of the Trump administration for nearly a year now, not yet a year, that they, I think, have been reviewing probably all of these investigations that were shut down. They're taking a look at, obviously, this is one that's impacting directly, and it's in conflict with their foreign policy. This may not have been in conflict with the Obama foreign policy, but it is certainly in conflict with the Trump administration's foreign policy. And so if they can open this investigation once again, and those impediments aren't there, then I think they will. And that Congress can continue that push, allowing the testimony from agents who were involved in the first investigation.
We've got a series of Freedom of Information Act requests going out today on this very topic, and more to come. We're going to talk about that after we're off radio today to expand that out. So again, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference at ACLJ.org. Last segment of the broadcast coming up. Logan?
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in on social media. Final segment of the day coming up right after this. Be right back with more on JSEC Yo Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal courts, and we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment. Again, if you're just joining us or joining us late here, let me tell you what's going to happen on Monday. So on a radio audience, you're going to hear a special that we put together for Monday. For our Facebook and Periscope audience, and some of you may want to be going over to Facebook and Periscope, the Jay Sekulow Band, we're going to do a two-hour concert that we did up at Judson University, and we talk about some of the cases and some of the issues. We had a great time with the students up there, and we're going to play that live here in our on Facebook and Periscope. So, Logan, there's nothing else. People that watch on Facebook and Periscope, just like normal.
Just like normal. You can it'll be broadcast there, right there. So
right on the time we would do radio,
yep.
There it will go. And it'll originate from here, and then we'll go right up to the concert. All right, we're taking calls, 800-684-3110, comments as well.
Dennis in Reno, Nevada, you're on the air. Thanks for holding, Dennis. About 35 minutes, we appreciate
hey,
it.
Hey, Dennis. Thanks for holding.
Yes. Yes.
You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you very much, fellas, at ACLJ. We appreciate what you do. Happy New Year.
Happy New
and,
Year.
Let's make it a good one.
Yep.
Make it a good one. I would like to know, is Hezbollah joining in with the Brotherhood to fund organizations on our liberal colleges? We have a problem with that. And one other question, does David Benjamin have a brother named Anthony?
No, yeah, not that I know of. David Benjamin, of course, is our senior lawyer in our office in Israel. I do not think he has a brother named Anthony.
I don't know much about his personal.
I mean, I do. I mean, I know his family, and I may be wrong, but I don't think so. But on the funding of what's going on the campuses, the Muslim Brotherhood, Jordan, has been involved. Not Hezbollah there. The Muslim Brotherhood and CARE and those groups have funded these kind of anti-Israel sentiments on the college campuses.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference is that Hezbollah is really a proxy for another country. So they're a proxy for Iran and a militant group that is more put together, whereas the Muslim Brotherhood works with some of those groups like Hamas in the Sunni world, but has also kind of kept their militant wing separate, if you will, in those other groups and their political wing. And they're operating in two different areas. And in fact, the conflict in Syria is that Shia versus Sunni war, where Hezbollah is on the side of the Assad government,
yep.
Which is where the Iran government is. And their trafficker, I think this one of these stories, I mean, there's so many from Hezbollah, you just keep pulling and pulling. So there's a guy named The Ghost. It was part of this Project Cassandra, The Ghost. So someone that obviously is very tough to track down.
Yep.
If your international name becomes The Ghost to law enforcement and other cartels because they want to take you out too, it tells you how sophisticated you are. He was a Hezbollah operative. He was indicted in this, so they knew who he was. They were letting him continue to operate. He probably still is operating to this day. He was not just the world's biggest cocaine trafficker, or may still be, but is a major supplier of conventional and chemical weapons to the Assad government. Mm. So I think about that. They are manufacturing and supplying and figuring out how to move chemical weapons into war zones. That is not your average what you think of when you think of a militant or terrorist group, but it's how they make their money to fund those militant activities.
So, Harry, there's a sophisticated nature to this, a sophisticated level of engagement here by Hezbollah.
Absolutely. So you have Hezbollah, you have the Muslim Brotherhood, you have CARE, you have Students for Justice for Palestine. They are all linked to some extent in a campaign against Israel. Students for Justice for Palestine is linked to the BDS movement, which is an anti-Israel group. And so the tentacles of all of these groups are difficult to fully understand, but those groups have been able to advance and strengthen their initiatives in the United States and worldwide, in part because the Obama administration has capitulated to political correctness and weakness.
Let's go ahead and take some more phone calls
right,
if we can.
Let's go to David in Indiana line two.
Hi, David.
Hi, Jay. I've got two questions about the investigation. The first one is why bother with all the information that they've had already? I mean, if it's that old, it seems to me like it'd be worthless. And the second one is that if you're going to investigate somebody, you don't typically make that known so that the person can hunker down and try to prevent you from investigating.
I'm going to go to Andy on this. This is not investigating a person. This is a organization.
That's right. It's different than investigating an individual who might not say anything or might go into hiding. This is a large, multinational, global terrorist organization. And I imagine that if an investigation such as Cassandra, which went on, as far as I can see, for 8 or 9 years, probably gathered enormous intelligence and information through wiretaps and through all kinds of sophisticated electronic devices that were available to law enforcement, I think that there is a large cache of evidence and information that is available that they can go to and revive that and bring it out and open this up again. So I don't think that it's dead. I think it's dormant. I think the Obama administration, tried to kill it in order to assume its legacy in Iran, which is a legacy of terror and horror, is what they did. But I think that this is something that certainly Jeff Sessions can revive and looks like he's going to do.
All right. So, which, of course, raises, you know, again, that will be something that develops after the first of the year. We'll follow. Let's keep grabbing these calls if we can, Logan.
All right. Continuing on. Mike in L.A., you're on the air, line three.
Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Yes, Jay, I'll just be real quick. I have a comment. I was a lieutenant in the military.
Yes, sir. Thanks for your service.
In 1983, and one of my soldiers died in that hotel/Marine barracks that went down. And I think we owe it to our military to uncover something like this for all the guys that have put their lives on the line and that have lost their lives for this.
Let me play for you what former DEA, former Chief of Operations Michael Braun said, because it's very similar. This is congressional testimony from 2016, but it is very apropos to what you just said.
For some unknown reason, we seem to have missed out on one opportunity after another. We seem to have forgotten about the importance of disrupting the supply chain.
Yeah, which is what Jordan was just talking about. Let's grab this last call.
Last call of the day. Ella in Oregon, you're on the air.
Hi, Ella. Quickly, please.
Hello.
Yep.
My question is very basic. What is the specific mission of Hezbollah, and how does not investigating their activities affect Iran?
So the mission of Hezbollah is to drive Israel into the sea.
And create a Shiite, the same word that you hear ISIS use, called the Ummah, basically an Islamic kingdom throughout the world. But their first focus is that Jerusalem, obviously. That is what they want. That is their ultimate goal. So they say their resistance, their fight, the war, doesn't stop until Israel is obliterated. That's in their manifesto. And, of course, the name translates to Army of God. So it's again, all focusing in on the world, but their goal for war is not the whole world. It's Israel is their focus, the obliteration.
All right, so here's what we've got. We are down to the last 5 days of our ACLJ matching challenge, the last 5 days of the year. This is the biggest 5 days of the month financially for the American Center for Law and Justice. We're at about $1,647,000. I'm sure that's gone up a little bit since we went on air. Our goal for the month is $3,000,007. This is just the online figures here. Your support of the ACLJ right now makes a huge difference. We're in that matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So ACLJ.org. So you donate $10, we get 20, 20s, 40, 40s, 80. ACLJ.org. And again, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We're also going to encourage you to stay engaged with the ACLJ, not just now, but through the new year as well. Logan's going to let you know all the ways you can.
That's right. ACLJ.org. You can find everything there. Get connected. You can also find us on social media where you can follow and like us. That's at Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Follow us on Twitter at JaySekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, ACLJ. Download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also in the Roku channel store. Just look for ACLJ and subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Back tomorrow with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much.